As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Greetings and welcome to Starkville.
Baseball Hall of Famer Jason Stark.
And then the robot said, strike.
That's why you're going in the Hall of Fame.
It's an inside the park home run, Doug Glanville.
Mike Trout is coffee at Starbucks with a double latte skinny.
Doug, are you ready to make some podcast magic?
I am ready. Bring on the magic wand. Let's do it.
Greetings and welcome to Starkville, now part of the Athletic Baseball Show, where you'll find great baseball talk all week long and all season long. I'm Jason Stark. I write about baseball for The Athletic. I'm joined once again by my good friend, writer, broadcaster, professor, distinguished former major leaguer, and the voice of Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio, Doug Glanville. Doug,
yes.
I missed you last week. I'm sure you missed me. I was in Sicily.
How did that go, man? I mean, what was that like?
Yeah, we had an amazing family reunion many miles from Starkville. But I understand that you had a little chit-chat about me and my gelato sandwich. So,
oh, yeah, you had a gelato sandwich.
I'm going to fill you in on this.
Well, the picture looked like it was like a sandwich. You're like, oh, this looks great. isn't it melting? We kept saying, why isn't it melting?
Look, it melted. We did the posing of the gelato sandwich photo right out of the freezer, because otherwise it would have been a mess. But I'll tell you how this worked. One of my vacation rules, if you're in Italy, is how often can you have gelato? As much as you want, every single meal. Why not? So this was like 10:45 a.m., something like this. Went to a little coffee shop, and they had gelato on the menu. I thought, okay, I'm going to have some gelato. Talk my daughter into it. So we both order chocolate gelato, which looked amazing. And then the waiter says to us, would you like a brioche with it? So we looked at each other and said, why the heck not? So we didn't really know what that meant. All we know is a few minutes later, the gelato arrived actually in the middle of a brioche roll. And we looked at each other and thought, A, why the heck not? B, need to take some photos. Okay, so took a photo. And then next day, Tim McMaster checks in and says, hey, you got any pictures of you in Sicily that we can use? And I said, well, I just took a picture of myself eating a gelato sandwich. And so I sent that along. Little did I know we would be talking gelato sandwiches on Starkville. What do you think? A major advancement for humankind? Oh,
well, especially as we're trying to expand Starkville to different countries, Sicily, Romania. I'm feeling pretty good. We're going to announce a new zip code. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
Look, we have ice cream sandwiches, so it's not that strange, right? Gelato sandwich. They're not really on brioche. You know, that's okay.
Yeah.
So why not? Sounds great.
Usually I'll admit, like the actual cookie thing that the ice cream sandwich usually comes on, I prefer. I'll also admit I did not order any more gelato brioche. I did order a lot more gelato though. but anyway, it was a really wonderful, magical time. So thanks for holding down Starkville without me. That was cool. I know you introduced a little poetry into the show, something I can pretty much guarantee you'll never get from me. Right? How'd that happen?
No, I don't know how that happened. I think describing, I had a long trip where I did Dodger Yankees and then I did three games in Anaheim versus the Cubs and I saw Ohtani every day. So I just figured, you know, this is the right person to write about awe and the awe-inspiring performance. And he's only gotten better since that show, right? I mean, this guy's MVP Triple Crown candidate. But so I just figured I'd talk about awe and how important it is as fans. So that's where it came up. And I just kind of wrote it that morning and we put it together and Tim hooked it up. So here we are.
That's great. All right. Well, look, check out Doug's amazing poem, Awe, from last week's show, if you missed it. But speaking of poetry, what do you say we bring in this week's very special guest? Because anytime he speaks, it's always poetic. You know, Doug, I love talking with all of our visitors to Starkville, but I'm even more stoked than usual to catch up with our guests this week because it is always uplifting to talk to the brilliant and hilarious analyst for that team still known for now as the Oakland A's, our good friend Dallas Braden. Dallas, thanks for stopping by to see us in Starkville, my friend.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for the invite. Glad I found it on the map. And easy with that B word, Jay, the brilliant. All right, easy with that because you're going to start to raise expectations. And with zero expectations comes zero disappointments. Okay.
Okay. You weren't supposed to take that literally.
Take it literally. Fair enough.
All right. Look, man, it's always great to talk to you about pretty much anything. But I think it's especially timely this week because that team that you work for, that team you once pitched for, looks like it's bound for Las Vegas. So we need your help in trying to make sense of this because I still haven't fully been able to make the reality of it sink in. So I guess that's my first question. Like, has it totally hit you that the A's look like they're about to exit Oakland forever?
Yes and no. Yes and no. It's tough. You know, I for a long time tried to make sense of what goes on in the business world of baseball, not just related to the Oakland Athletics and their current situation. And I found myself at a very early phase realizing, buddy, you're going to drive yourself more crazy trying to figure things out and trying to make sense of things you just don't understand than you are if you just kind of stay in your lane. And so as a player, I just kind of stayed in my lane. As a fan of Bay Area baseball leading up to the incredible opportunity I had to play for the organization, you know, you're privy to the rumblings and the conversations about potential moves from yesteryear and the impact that had on fan bases and so on and so forth. So then you fast forward into your playing career and you're really just, you know, you got tunnel vision. I want to get to the big leagues. I want to help the big league team, wherever that team may be. That's really not even a concern of yours. You just want to play baseball. You just want to play ball. And so as a player, you know, I heard the rumblings of, hey, new stadium. And again, that stuff that I think, honestly, you get excited about because it's something new. And so you're interested in how that would operate, how that, like, I don't know, what does this process look like? So it's interesting from that respect. And then I think it's very humbling to realize as soon as you really try to wade in and figure out what the goings on actually are, you have next to no clue unless you are in those rooms having those meetings. And even then, you don't know what those conversations are like. So as I've said before, and I've said it time and time again, I realized very quickly, this is probably a place where I just need to keep my focus on what I'm doing as a player and not worry about anything else. And I think that mindset has kind of helped me through my evolution as a fan initially to a player to now a broadcaster.
Yeah, I get that. I think that is the way to try to especially work through a situation like this. But there is an emotional side to something like this happening. And just the thought of the A's not being in Oakland, how emotional is that for someone like you?
Well, it is emotional because I have such a tie to the fans, and I love baseball fans in general, but Bay Area baseball fans, whether they're Giants fans or A's fans, for me, it doesn't matter because, you know, I grew up watching both teams and I grew up connecting with fans from both sides of the Bay. So when you walk into a tailgate in San Francisco, you got a great idea of what you're going to get. I mean, I was in AT&T Park 2010 during the World Series run. My good friend Brian Wilson was closing for the then would be world champion San Francisco Giants, and I was out in the parking lot before the game having a blast with those fans, right? Just having a great time of what they were embarking on, which was about to be a legacy, a foundation of a legacy laid down. So that was awesome. And you know what you're going to get when you go to the town, when you go to Oakland and you roll into one of their tailgates, right? So just the energy and the fans' passion is what makes this emotional for me because of the long-standing connectivity that I've had. That's where my heart always lies. And it's never a matter of taking sides in a circumstance like this, because I would like to think it's street legal for a local boy like myself to have the love that I have for the organization. And that is irrespective of them moving or where they're moving or why they might be, like, none of that matters. I'm allowed to love the fans, and that's what I do.
Yeah. You know, I have so many cool memories of sitting in that stadium, watching great A's teams from previous eras do their thing. Can you even put into words the journey from what this franchise used to be and where it is right now?
Well, what's really cool about the opportunity that I've had with this organization is I have had the opportunity to celebrate its greatness that I have had less than zero part of. Okay. So when we're talking about celebrating 50 years and they've got the greats coming through, you know, I do fantasy camp with the Oakland A's, which is, in my opinion, one of the greatest fantasy camps we got going. Our organization does a tremendous job with fantasy camp because I'm out there playing baseball with guys like Burt Campanaris, right? Dave Stewart is out there, Carney Lansford, Terry Steinbach. So I'm on the bus with a lot of these guys, Joe Rudy, Gene Tennis, right? Vida, rest in peace. God rest his soul, because that has been such an impactful loss in our community to not have Vida. There's folks that are still reeling over that, and understandably so, because he meant so much to us. But you talk about the greatness. I mean, Rookie of the Year, MVP, like just Cy Young, like just there's so much history. And for me to ever have the opportunity, as I've said, to get on the bus and enjoy those conversations that those guys have with each other, you know, the junk they're talking to each other when we're on our way out, it's great. I love every minute of it. And I think it's understood now that the game changes, the game evolves. And we were actually talking about this on my podcast earlier this morning about how the business of baseball has evolved. And you think back to, you know, when the luxury tax was first implemented and where teams were starting to figure out how they could compete, wink, wink, nod, nod, and whether or not that was going to be a sustainable approach. Well, we've watched this organization take the analytical world by storm and really at the forefront of that evolution. So where we're at now, respective to where we were in terms of the greatness, I think is just it's an understanding of how the game has changed and how teams and organizations compete under the pretenses that have been laid out and that have continued to change in our game.
Yeah, so Dallas, I mean, what do you think is most overlooked about the Oakland A's relationship with the Bay Area community? I mean, you know, it's easy to get in the narrative like, well, you know, attendance isn't great, they're not coming out and supporting the team, and therefore they're just, you know, not good fans or they're not supportive fans. I mean, what do you think is most misunderstood about the true relationship between the fans and that organization that's something to be really celebrated?
I think there is a misunderstanding about the folks who have their boots on the ground and are doing the work in the community that might not get a lot of the shine, that might not get a lot of the spotlight. And that's, that's kind of where I say, I think I can understand how the business side of sports can overshadow a lot of the wonderful things that are happening, because you get caught up in the business aspect and you forget to remember that these sports teams in the communities they're in, they do have an impact. Right. I was a young kid who was getting to go to A's games free because of the ticket services that they were providing to our downtrodden community in Stockton, California. So I reap the benefit of these fine people rolling up their sleeves and going to work in our community. And that right there is, again, something that ties me to these fans, because they have appreciated what the organization has done. And that's why I can get how it's just such a difficult moment. It's one of the toughest things to ever try to have to process, I think, mentally as a fan. So I fully understand, fully get it.
You know, it's a really good segue to discuss something I think we have to discuss. And that is Rob Manfred's spin on this situation at the owners' meetings last week. I don't know about you guys. I'm not sure why the commissioner chose to say what he said, especially in the tone that he chose to say it. But now that he's done it, we get to analyze it. And if he's listening, I don't know why he would be, but he should know we're not going to come away saying, hey, Mr. Commissioner, great job with that. Okay. So first thing I want to ask you about is the commissioner saying there was never even a plan in Oakland. Mm-hmm. I'll read you the quote. He said they never got to a point where they had a plan to build a stadium at any site. Look, I know that you're not in charge, just like we're not in charge of building any ballparks at any site, but is that true? It seems to me that is not how I perceive this.
Yeah, no, and Jay, that's where I would say I have no idea. I couldn't tell you one way or the other. And that's just me not being privy to the conversations, just like you guys are not privy to those conversations. But that's where I have learned, and I learned a long time ago, that what might be put out publicly might not be the entire picture. And it might be to create leverage in one spot or another when it comes to business negotiations. So I can't speak intelligently to that. And that's one of those things where, honestly, I think I'm glad that I can't, because there's a reason I'm not in those rooms. There's a reason I'm not on that phone call or those phone calls. Who the hell am I? I'm just the guy who loves the game, loves our fans, loves our organization, and wants to talk about baseball. So when it comes to the nuance of who's saying what, where the negotiations are, what's in place, what I've tried to do as best of a job as I can to stay removed from that, so that I don't have any sort of these biases impacting my job, because I have an opinion about baseball and I have opinion about, my love for the franchise. But what's not necessary, what's unneeded, is my opinion on business tactics that I know next to nothing about, because who am I helping there, right? I'm not helping our franchise if they're trying to get something done. I'm not helping a city if they're trying to get something done. I'm putting myself in a terrible spot by choosing a side there, especially being ignorant to the full scale of the conversation. So all I could do at best, Jay, is show up, tell you why you got to throw the 1-1 fastball in off the plate, and pray to God that you know we're still playing baseball somewhere as an Athletics franchise.
Yeah, I'm sure that part will happen. All right, well, let's talk about the big quote. Okay, this is the one where the commissioner was asked about that reverse boycott that A's fans staged last Tuesday. A lot of people came out to show how much they love the A's. So the commissioner was asked if he watched that, and his response was, I was at dinner with the owners. Dinner with the owners. That's how he answered that. And that wasn't even the money quote, because the money quote is one I think, unfortunately, Rob Manfred will never live down. It's going to go down alongside the piece of metal quote, talking about the World Series trophy. Here's how this one went. He admitted he was aware of reverse boycott, not so. Then he was asked, what was his impression of that? this is what he said. He said, it's great to see what is this year. Here it comes. Almost an average Major League Baseball crowd in the facility for one night. That's a great thing. That's what he said. I know you've tweeted about this, but Dallas, how did you react to those words?
Jay, like, this is completely separate from that game from June 13th. My opinion on this is completely removed from what is going on between the fans and the commissioner, from what is going on in Oakland right now. My opinion on how he has treated the fans and the players prior to anything to do with Oakland, I think is probably pretty well known. So to hear this, it was extremely disappointing. It was extremely disappointing just because I would like to believe at the end of the day, this is an individual who cares as deeply, if not more so than anybody, about our game. I think that's who we would all, that's a characteristic of the individual that we would all like to see in the person with the sort of authority that Mr. Manfred has. I think that's fair to say. So anytime a steward of the game, to the extent that our commissioner is, starts to take unnecessary shots at teams' fan bases, I think it's understood across the board that that's probably not going to put a lot of smiles on people's faces. Yeah, I know it certainly did not in Oakland. And again, as far as the fans in Oakland feel, it's nothing new to them, which is why they have done what they've done and galvanized themselves together in a show of support for each other. Because imagine how they must feel imagine how fans must feel if the one individual, like, what if it was, what if this was the NBA or the NHL? Like, I don't know those commissioners' names. Adam Silver, NBA. Yeah, well, what if
Adam Silver, Goodell would be the NFL.
He's done some great things for the league. But for him to, like, take a pointed shot at a fan base, I think everybody would understand that the fan base would take exception to that.
Yeah, where's the empathy for those people? Well, I don't understand.
That would be, I guess, a question that I would pose to you guys is, Dougie, with all the experience that you've had as a player and in the media, and Jay, all of the incredible stories that you have written and the insight you have provided to the game of baseball, to the fans of the game of baseball, is this something that you guys have seen before or experienced before?
I could answer that question a lot of different ways. I'm really curious about what Doug thinks. Doug, what should Rob Manfred have said in answer to that question?
Well, I mean, it's like Dallas says, like, every fan is gold. Every fan is gold. And it's not just about the fact that they show up to the ballpark, because Dallas just outlined very clearly, like, sometimes you just have barriers to be able to get there, transportation, finances, work. And, I tell the story all the time about my family. You know, my mom grew up in North Carolina, but she spent her summers with my great aunts and uncles who were in Philadelphia. And they loved baseball. Jackie Robinson got them in it, but they were really mad at the Philadelphia Phillies for how they treated Jackie Robinson in Philadelphia as a city. So they effectively boycotted the Phillies. They would listen to the radio and just not be fans, though. And it wasn't until 1998, when I was a starting center fielder of the Phillies, nearly 50 years after Jackie Robinson broke in, that they were willing to forgive. And then eventually the city said, okay, you know, we probably should say something. And they did. So that just tells you, you know, the legacy of pain of one statement, one act towards someone who is representative of a community, and how important it is and how longstanding it can last. And so you have to treat that with care. And, you know, I think of it this way, as like a parent. My kids, I have four kids, and this is a question I would absolutely pose to Dallas as well. Like, I grappled at different moments about what I want to stand for as a baseball father, and saying, like, hey, support this team. That always meant a lot. That endorsement meant a lot. And there was times I struggled with Boston, because Boston's history you know, wasn't so great. You know, Phil, you know, there's a lot of things on race and Jim Rice and things, some of the ownership. And then Heim Bloom went and did a whole lot of things that I actually appreciated. So, you know, you grapple with these things and say, do I want to put my family behind this? And so there's deeper levels that sometimes prevent or inhibit people from physically showing up and raising the attendance numbers, but they're living and dying with this team, whether, you know, on the podcast, on the radio, somewhere along the lines, that in a quiet way. And maybe that doesn't fill the revenue up, but it matters. And so I guess to Dallas, the question I have in that realm is, you know, you have kids, you understand that. And, you know, what do you grapple with when you're sitting there going, well, I'm an A's fan, and whatever, they could be Las Vegas, or like, how do you envision that? Because you always have a vision of, oh, I'm going to raise my kids and they're going to be Phillies fans. And then something happens, and then you have to reset and maybe focus on being a fan of the game. I mean, what has that been like in your mind with the possibility of like being this A's, you know, soul, and it might be in a different geographical location, for example?
Dougie, I am, I think at times I am loyal to a fault. And I think I would rather be loyal to a fault than not having an idea of what I would like to stand for, or maybe some of the principles that I would like to stand for. And I never, ever forget the people or the individuals, the group, and in this case, the organization, who looked at me as a viable option, whether it may be at best to have just filled out a minor league roster spot, or in my case, at best, get to the major leagues. I will take a bullet for this organization, and have proudly done so in the past, because of that very fact, that they were the ones who provided me with an opportunity to provide a life for my family. So when it comes to considering where that could be taking place, I've long said at home for me is on a baseball field. I don't care if that's in your ballpark or in my ballpark. When I go on the road, I'm at a ballpark. I'm home. I'm around friends and family because they love baseball just like I do. So the idea of grappling with how I could potentially raise my children, I'll tell you right now, I went to bed with my daughters the other night covered in an A's blanket. We woke up in an A's blanket. I do not foresee them ever going to sleep under anything other than an Athletics blanket.
All right. Since you asked me how I would have answered that question, I'll give you an answer. I don't think it should have been that hard for the commissioner of baseball to say, let's just start with one thing he actually did say, which is, this is not an outcome that I wanted. He did say that, right? So if he didn't want the outcome, doesn't he then have to say, I really feel for every fan of this team, I really appreciate what they were trying to say to all of us when they came out the other night. You know, I've experienced myself many great moments sitting in that ballpark with those people. I know how passionately they've supported their fan, their team for so many years, and I feel their pain. This is business, but on every other level, I feel their pain. Why was that so hard to say?
I don't know, Jay. I'm with you. That would have been great. That would have been great to hear. I mean, that would have landed with the fans, because even just the simple acknowledgement, like I'm going to do here, which is understanding that there's much higher business tactics and negotiations at play here than we're going to be privy to. So understanding that, for the folks who aren't privy to those, what is your message to them? Right. I think that's what we're asking. And I don't know why that was not an option, because I would love to believe that individual, Mr. Manfred, is far more intelligent than to think that would not be received the way it would, or the way it was. And the folks around him, look, and they don't know what he's going to say, you know? So I don't know if that's a conversation had before. Maybe he takes the podium and addresses the media, but it was, that's why I said it was disappointing and it was hurtful, because it's easy to get angry about stuff like that. Everybody would understand. But the pain that I felt was like, I feel like I'm being vulnerable saying that hurt, but it did. It did. It hurt. Like, it almost made me want to cry. Like, man, really? Like, that's so tough. That is just so tough to hear right now, because it makes you feel like there's a disconnect. But again,
what made him want to say that? I'm really grasping to understand that part. I read Evan Drellick's great analysis of the commissioner and why he often reacts to questions like this, the way he reacted to that question. Uh-huh. But his job is not just to be a commissioner for all 30 owners, even though those are the people that he works for. His job is to be a commissioner for all people who care about baseball. And even if you can't make everyone happy, you can understand the caring part. And
I think that's just what the fans were looking for. It was just a little, that's it. That's it. You know, because I think fans look like the New York Mets. They've got an incredible fan base, a 7-line army. They do tremendous things for the community. They donate to the community fund. They do a lot of great stuff just to invigorate the trip to the ballpark. Right. And so I couldn't imagine looking at those fans at any point in time and degrading their efforts to grow the game as a fan base. Like, these are people who are willingly spending their money to come to the ballpark and then collectively raising efforts to raise more capital to donate to an organization so that they can continue to make an impact in the community. That's who fans are. That's who fans are. Why would I ever want to fire an arrow at a group of those people? And I think that's where everybody is just kind of scratching their head. Like, look, we get it. If things have been frustrating in terms of, you know, the business side of things. And again, that's understandable. That's why that guy makes the money he makes. It's because those are very tough decisions. Those are very difficult conversations to have.
Of course, I
totally understand, but damn, man, it cut deep.
It did.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, well, and you know, so Dallas, I mean, I know, like, now you've seen this perspective. You mentioned these sort of three phases, right? Fan growing up, you know, playing ball, and the media side. Can you talk a little bit about the evolution of that relationship? You know, there's a consistent through line, but also, you know, now you're at a chair of a critical eye. You know, even if you don't use it recklessly, you still have that perspective. And what's changed for you in the last few years, if you've kind of been in the media chair, and what responsibilities you feel?
It is understanding how much more of the business aspect impacts the job that I do and how I do the job, and understanding, like, because as we sit and talk here right now, you know, I have a responsibility to my organization. I have a responsibility to the game of baseball. I have a responsibility to the men that I cover, to the men and women that I work with. I have a responsibility to the fans who want to be spoken to straightforward, right? And so I have to figure out a way to balance all of that on top of, as I mentioned, the emotion of being a homegrown fan who got the opportunity to play for the team and is now in a position as the broadcaster. So I have to figure out what those lines are and learn how to walk them, and learn how to walk them very carefully, which is what I'm trying to do, especially during times like this, because I want the fans to know how much I love them. I think the organization understands how much I love and appreciate them. And I think everybody understands how much I just love this damn game of baseball itself. And so growing and evolving in these roles has helped me learn how to try to connect on different levels and in different ways with people who have different opinions about what's going on in the moment.
All right. I have an idea. This would be a show of recognizing the meaning of the A's in Oakland. Should this team be allowed to take the A's name with it if it leaves? You know what I mean? When the Cleveland Browns moved to Baltimore in the middle of the night, they didn't get to take the Browns name. they took everything else.
Brooklyn Nets, that kills me.
Oh, yeah. Well, think about this. And this is, you know, and listen to what I'm about to say. They were the Kansas City A's. They were the Philadelphia A's. Right? They were.
Yes.
But the A's is the common denominator there. So I don't know, you know, in years past with Charlie Finley and the ownership groups that were coming through, I have no idea how they were able to keep the name, what sort of deals went on to allow that to happen. I'm sure that I wish somebody would write a book about that. Maybe that's already happened and I just haven't read it. I'm sure those are great stories. But yeah, that's interesting to wonder. It's interesting to think about, just because I think you've seen precedent set, as you guys have highlighted, where things do change, and you've also seen precedent where things stay the same.
Yeah, you know, franchise moves were way more common back when the Philadelphia A's moved to Kansas City in the 1950s. Uh-huh. And then when the Kansas City A's moved to Oakland in the, late 1960s. Okay, so it was a little more of a frequent occurrence then. It's a really rare occurrence now. So, I'm thinking maybe the template here is what happened in Cleveland, where, okay, you can move your team to some other place, but we keep the identity of our team. And when should say baseball then expands to Oakland, expands to somewhere in Northern California, if the A's leave, which I actually think is a good idea, is a desired outcome. If you want geographical realignment, that would be a great market to expand to and keep the symmetry geographically. What would be wrong with calling that team the A's? And just like the Browns have done, have the record book of the Oakland A's reflect the team in Oakland, and not just whatever they decided to do or wherever they decided to move.
I don't think you're not going to get any argument. You're not going to get any pushback from anybody that's been an Oakland A's fan to keep that name going, I don't think. But I also think that that fans of an original franchise, it's kind of weird, almost like, you know, I know that that's not my team per se. That used to be my team. It's a different team now, but I can appreciate where they come from. Like, I'll give you an example for myself. All right. They've long talked about my area code back home in Stockton, California, and whether or not it's going to be changed. And I happen to have that area code tattooed on my stomach. So should that change, my response has always been, I don't care what they change it to. I don't care if they throw another digit in there. The 209 is where I am originally from. That's where I am from. So should that change? That's great. It's kind of like Pompeii, you know, we know about it. It's not there now. We know what happened. So I'm sporting Pompeii on my stomach regardless. So I think those fans kind of feel the same way. Like, hey, we get it. You're going to call it what you want to call it. We think about them this way. So that's one of the tribalistic things about sport that I really enjoy as well, because for no good, justifiable or understandable reason whatsoever, you can take that stance and you don't have to explain it to anybody as to why you feel that way.
Didn't Pompeii play second base for Charlie Finley, or am I mixing him up?
Well, it was not until after he grew the mustache.
Right.
It'd be kind of hot there at second base over there. Oh my God. Well, yeah, the 209, man. No, I appreciate that in terms of like where we're from. Your team, it's been an interesting turnaround, just talking about on the baseball side, of what seemed to be this like exercise in futility to inspiration. I guess, how did you see the transition moments between the A's that started the first, 55 some odd games to what they're doing now? I mean, it's just like, how does that even happen?
Well, what's great about this, Dougie, and I'm sure you've experienced things like this. I know you have. I did as a player, where you get there and, you're looking around and you're going, yeah, I'm the 26th guy here. Got it. Okay. Nobody wants me in this tight ball game. Really, nobody wants me in this ball game anyway. But I'm going to have to figure out how to get better so that they don't have that cringe feeling when they're looking down there and trying to figure out, call Braden's number. We'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to get better each and every day. And it's tougher, I think, when you have an entire group of guys who are sort of in that same boat for one reason or another. And we have a lot of young guys who have been trying to figure out who they are at the big league level. They've been afforded that opportunity, which is incredible, because that's not the case everywhere. There's a lot of folks who have deserved an opportunity and just never got there by virtue of being blocked by talent ahead of them, that they were never going to move off of a spot. So to learn at this level is a reward in itself, is a prize in itself. And you want to reward that by putting the work in every day to continue to earn those opportunities. And that is what this group has done. I talked about Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, Chad Pinder, Mark Canna, these kind of guys coming up. I mean, Canna was Rule 5, but they all sort of got better together at the same time at the big league level, and that turned into postseason teams. And what we're seeing right now, what I'm experiencing, is, sure, maybe a bit slower of that incremental growth, but that's exactly what it is it's the incremental growth necessary in these young guys figuring out who they are at this level. And it's paired with some veterans who have earned the opportunity to be everyday players, are figuring out what that's like for the first time. They're struggling too. And they're figuring out how to make the adjustments, maybe while shouldering responsibility that they've never had to shoulder. So it's really an entire room of people who are trying to grow and figure out who they are all together at the big league level at the same time. That's not easily done. You don't see it a lot. But, I mean, for you to put together a nice 7-game run like they did, especially and then end up playing the Rays the way they did, split the series after the way things went at the beginning of the season against the Rays. I mean, those guys on the field will tell you, that first series against Tampa, don't think they should have even been allowed on the baseball field. We kind of joked about that. We are completely different today. Completely different. And I've been able to witness that day in, day out grind take place. And you just watch guys' footwork get a little better on the ladder. You just watch guys start to crisp things up a little more in their side work. The data, the feedback, the numbers, they're just starting to look a little bit better. And now you're watching it play out to the tune of a guy like JP Sears, who has really hit his stride, started implementing the changeup a little more. And now you're watching the trust factor grow. You're watching him start to walk around with a little more air in his chest out there. And you're seeing it happen. So it might not be big and bright and hit you over the head by virtue of wins and losses, but each and every day I'm watching their meter just get 1% fuller each and every day.
All right. I can't let this go without reflecting on this on another level, which is how amazing baseball is. Okay. Oh. This team had been on pace to finish nearly 100 games under 500 and then won seven games in a row, every one of them against teams that were in first place when those series started. And look, Dallas, you, Doug, and I share our amazement over the stuff that happens in baseball that you can't possibly see coming. But tell me, anybody could have seen that winning streak coming?
Let me tell you who saw it coming.
Really?
A fella by the name of Jace Peterson.
Oh, all right.
Because before we even got to Pittsburgh, I go in the cage, and big shout out, big thank you to Chris Crone, Tommy Everidge, our hitting coaches. You know, I've got a lot of liberty, in the clubhouse. And so I just still to this day, I do what I did as a player. I'll go sit down in the cage and I'll just watch. I listen to the conversations they're having. Sometimes they'll ask me, you know, what it's like to throw 84 and what I'm trying to do with a terrible fastball. So whether or not they want to sit slider on a guy or what. So I help. I try to help however I can. But I was just watching Jason. I was watching him in the cage, and I watched him out during BP. And I kind of went up to him and I just went, kind of sniffed on him a little bit. And I just kind of stood back and looked at him. I said, "Brother, let me tell you, you just look different right now. You just smell different right now. There's something different." And he just looked at me and he goes, "It's coming. It's coming right now. It is coming." He said, "My outs are hard. I'm seeing the ball, but all the boys right now, all the boys, we feel like there's something coming." 3 days later, we roll into Pittsburgh, drop one, end up taking two out of three, roll into Milwaukee, sweep them boys, come back home, tack on two against the Tampa Bay Rays. But it started in Pittsburgh. Jace Peterson goes 5 for 5, right? This is just a few days after this conversation. 5 for 5, first multi-homer game of his career. And I went down there and looked at him. And he went like this. "You smell that? I told you." And I was like, "Yes, you did. Yes, you did, brother. Yes, you did." So just to speak to the acknowledgement of the work that's being put in as well. Because Jace Peterson, one of those guys that I mentioned, earned the opportunity to be this guy that can shoulder the everyday responsibility, struggled out of the gate, and has done a fantastic job of being what I call the lighthouse in the clubhouse. When the storm gets thick and you're just not sure what direction to head, you got to look somewhere. You got to look to somebody to tell you what we got to do, where we got to go, how do we do this? And Jace has continued to be that beam of light that has circulated throughout the clubhouse and showed folks, this is how we go. When it's not good, this is how we go. When it's good, this is how we go.
You know, we've been talking about our A's memories, our Coliseum memories. There's one I have to bring up, okay? Because the Coliseum is where you and your favorite Fox baseball analyst, Mr. Alex Rodriguez, truly bonded, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
And I want to have you tell this story because it's so good, but let's just listen to how it sounded in the moment. And then you can tell us what really happened that day.
All right.
Well, there was a little bit of an incident at the end of the top half of the inning, and it involved Alex Rodriguez and the pitcher, Dallas Braden of the A's. And we're not sure what it's all about, but Braden was definitely upset with Alex.
Braden was definitely upset with Alex, huh? What could possibly have gotten you so upset? That you said some stuff that lives on in Dallas Braden annals, right?
Yeah, you know, man, gee, I'm having a hard time. But you know
what? What was the quote again? Jeez, hard to recall.
Now that I think about it, Alex was on first. Robbie Cano was up. Robbie Cano fouled the ball off down the third base line. A-Rod was trying to go first to third, hustling per usual, right?
Sure.
So he gets over to third base, foul ball. So he's got to make his way back over to first base. Well, there's a big pile of dirt, really a mound of dirt, if you will, in the middle of the baseball diamond. And there's a rubber, there's a pitching plate that is placed squarely on top of that mound of dirt, the pitcher's mound, as I think we would call it, pitcher's mound. So on my way back up the slope, up this pitcher's mound, this mound of dirt, again, in the middle of the diamond, I get right near the top where that plate that I told you about is located. And if you go back and watch the video of this very moment in time, he is not 3 feet away from me. He is not 10 feet away from me. I am maybe a step and a half away from the rubber. And this cat comes traipsing along my mound. What in the Sam hell are you doing? What are you thinking? Never in your life have you taken this route back to first base. But today you're going to? Why? Because our record looks the way it does? Because my win-loss record looks the way it does? 26-36, not great. Don't look it up, trust me. So I didn't need to hear anything. I didn't need to. I've always felt this way. And this, again, part of growing up in the area, this is just how we roll. This is how the Bay rolls. I don't care who you are. All right? On that diamond, that is my house. That is our house. Every guy behind me, every man, woman, and child in the stands, this is our place. Okay? So I made sure he understood that. And I made sure he knew that it was my mound. So I said to him, and I'll keep it PG, get off my mound. And he kind of snapped his head around as he was running back to first base. And he like looked at me and I said, yeah, get off or get the F off my mound. And he just, and he kept going to first base. And my first baseman at the time, Derek Barton, told me, he told me this after the inning. Alex asked him, hey, was he yelling at me? Was he talking to me? And Barton said, he goes, I told him the truth. I told him you're a weirdo. Told him you talk to yourself out here all the time. People ask me this all the time. And I told him, no, you're just talking to yourself. But that wasn't the case in the moment. Everything was pointed right at that dude. So fortunate enough to get Robbie Cano to roll over into a double play, a little 4-6-3. And A-Rod just peels off. He doesn't even try to go into the bag hard, right? Shocker. Doesn't try to break it up. Not trying to do any of that. You get dirty if you do that. So I look at him after the play is ended. The play is unfolding, and I'm not even watching the play. I'm walking in that direction, coming to him, and I'm yelling at him everything that I had just yelled previously. Hey, and this time it's stay, not get off. It's stay. Stay off my mound. He like throws his hands up at me like what, and that's when I was like, oh, you son of, and then I got my manager coming out, I got the umpires coming out, and it was not great, probably not my best scene, but the kicker, no pun intended here, Jay, and you'll appreciate this, I'm fired up, my manager's swat me back into the dugout, shut your mouth, get in the dugout, what are you doing, and I'm furious. You got the Gatorade jugs and the Gatorade cups set right up there on the top step. And I'm coming in and I just waylay the cup holder. Boom, kick it. Hard as I can. And what happens? The damn cups go flying, hit the back of the dugout wall, boom, and bounce squarely back and hit me right in the forehead. Right in the forehead. And I was given about 4.5 seconds before everybody just kind of looked at me and was like, you're an idiot. You are an idiot. And I was like, yep, you're right. I am an idiot.
There's no video. No video of that one, huh?
No. There is.
Oh, it is?
Actually.
It's out there?
Not only is there video of me kicking the cups and then coming back and hitting me in the head, some fine card collector has actually gone through the trouble of turning that into like a hologram baseball card.
How many copies of that card do you have?
I have exactly zero. I am in the process of tracking it down because I jokingly said that should be a card. Like some of that, like I'm surprised that picture isn't a card because they're called short prints or super short prints where you'll see players just, in not in action. Maybe it's doused with an ice jug or, they're doing an interview. It'll be a card of that nature. So I said, someone needs to super short print that. And sure enough,
that has NFT written all over it. It does.
Yes, yes. Or GIF.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Baby.
Well, yeah. And Dallas, like, and you think of the Hall of Fame, Oakland A's history, we got to talk about Dallas Braden, perfect game. And I guess, what does it mean now with all this time to reflect and all the things that are happening in Oakland right now, as you think about that history?
Well, Dougie, I am not so naive or ignorant to know, and I say this every time I have an opportunity to, just to make sure folks know that I understand. I'm not sitting here speaking to you, fine gentlemen, if that day never happens. That's just simply put, I understand that. And the celebration, the decade plus long celebration, really, that has been going on in Oakland with the fans, I don't deserve any of that. And I know that. And that's why I try to make sure our fans know how much I appreciate them. And I try to make sure our organization knows how much I appreciate what they have done for me as a player, for my family. I mean, it's a moment in time that my grandmother relives daily. And you love your mom, you love your dad, you love your grandparents, you love your family. So when you see a smile put on their face because of something you were able to achieve, but really the sustainability factor brought to you in part by the organization and the fan base, that's something I will never, ever forget. And I will never, ever quit being thankful for, because, I mean, they've blasted my ugly mug up on one of the concourse walls where people can go and take a picture with that looking, you know? And so I just to walk by that and see that, and people send me pictures of, you know, their kids with a picture of it. When they sent me a picture of them and I together so many years ago, and they're, you know, bringing things full circle. It's a, like, I almost don't like having the conversations because they're so emotional. Sometimes there's not a day that goes by where I don't hear five or six stories about where they were on Mother's Day, where they should have been on Mother's Day, but they didn't leave because they weren't going to leave the TV, and they were late, and they were getting blown up by mom and grandma and aunts. And, and so being able to continue to relive that moment and relive that time has been a blessing that I never saw coming. And I don't know that it's something that you ever think is real or ever think is possible. You know, I've always said that stuff's reserved for the great Catfish Hunter. That stuff is reserved for Dave Stewart, our Black Ace, and Vida. Like, that's who that kind of stuff is reserved for, right? Not me, not the 24th round slappy who just got lucky. Like, that's so to be able to share that with our fans is and our team, like, that's just, I don't know that I'll ever be able to properly put it into words.
All right, you guys are really good at segues. You don't even know you are. Because we can't let you leave, man, without playing America's favorite game, Know Your Dallas Braden Trivia. I know you're dying to play it. It's easy to play. Here's the deal. You threw a perfect game, but do you know which pitchers did and didn't throw perfect games? I just read a few names. All you have to do is tell me whether they did or didn't throw a perfect game. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready. Let's roll.
Okay. Start you with an easy one. Roy Halladay.
Book it. Yes.
That was what, like 3 weeks after yours, right?
Yeah, yeah. And how about this, Jay? Here's a funny story about that. Mark Burley called me to welcome me into the Perfect Game Club. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's like, look, something happened for me, so I'm passing the baton. Just want to congratulate you. Welcome. You know, watch the last hit. It is great, man. Congratulations. Good for you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, this is incredible. The guy on my iPad that I've got every game he's ever pitched downloaded so I can watch just called me to congratulate me. And then, like you said, about 10 minutes later, Doc throws his. And my clubby comes up to me. He's like, hey, so do you want us to get Halladay on? I was like, buddy, what, you think that I'm going to call Roy Halladay and congratulate and welcome him to what? He's going to look like, absolutely not. He's going to look at that like it's a phone call coming from county jail. Like, absolutely not accept these charges. No chance.
That's a good call. Yeah, he's not answering your call.
Yeah, what a dude. Beat it. No way.
From the 209. Who's calling me from the 209?
Yeah. No chance.
Yeah. Reject. All right. Well, that was a good answer and good story. So, Nolan Ryan did or didn't he throw a perfect game?
He did not. He did not. Right. He got seven of them other things though, Jay. He got seven.
Yeah. He leads you in total no hitters, but perfectos. You're in the club. Where is he? You might invite him to be like a guest speaker sometime. That's it.
Yeah, he's got more two hitters than I have career victories. Let's just put it like that.
Okay? Well, there is that. Yeah. Okay. How about Justin Verlander? Perfect game or not?
He's been knocking on the door. He just doesn't. He doesn't know the high sign. He doesn't know he's not the club. Sorry.
You're right. He's got two games where we only allowed one base runner. I mean, one time he walked a guy in the first inning, and that was perfect, but he has no perfect games. So you're 3-for-3 at this game. Here's one. This is a little before your time, but Cy Young, did he or didn't he throw perfect game?
Cy Young did throw a perfect game.
You're good at this. He threw the very first perfect game of the modern era.
And the reason I know that is because I am the proud holder of the one and only complete battery set of cards thrown by the pitcher and the catcher. So from Cy Young all the way to King Felix, I've got every pitcher and every catcher ever involved in a perfect game. I have both of their cards.
Wow. I thought batteries not included.
No.
I'm wrong.
Batteries included.
All right. Okay. So I got a hard one for you now. It's the last one. You're 4-for-4.
All right.
Pedro Martinez, did he or didn't he throw a perfect game?
Well, what's the cutoff innings wise, Jay? What's...
You're good. You're so good. Yeah.
Brutal. Brutal for Pedro. Because
Okay. Trick question, right? Uh-huh. Trick question. Yep. Nine perfect innings. In a game in San Diego, it was 95, I think? But yeah, it was nothing. Yeah. So the game wasn't over. He came out for the 10th. What did he do? He gave up a hit. Is that perfect?
It doesn't check the box. It does not check the box.
Right. Nine perfect innings, but not a perfect game. How weird is baseball, right?
It's incredible. And Pedro, actually, a couple of years ago at the All-Star game, you know, Pedro, I was talking to Pedro with my partner, Jared Carabas, who I do the podcast with, who is a huge Red Sox honk. Yeah. So we're talking to Pedro, and, you know, Pedro just, he's got his hand on my shoulder, and he's just kind of, you know, moving me around a little. And he's like, perfecto, I didn't throw a perfect game. And I'm looking at Pedro as he's saying this, like in his, you know, godlike aura that's surrounding him, like, Pedro, stop it. Stop it right now. Because don't do it. I appreciate you, bud. Thank you very much. I shouldn't even be on the same baseball field as you right now. So thanks for letting that happen too. But don't sit here and talk about, like, because I mean, it's freaking Pedro, right? Yeah. That was fun, because even Jared was like, it's just crazy to think like that you have done something like that. And that dude, right? Like the guy who in today's game, you are streaming every one of his starts. Like, you're not getting on the, you know what? The Southwest has another one in an hour and a half. I can't get on. Pedro's in the 7th right now. He's got nothing working. Like, I can't get on this plane. Can't do it. He's that type of talent, right? So just to see sometimes the shock and amazement when people realize, like, you know, one good day of work that I had, as opposed to the decades plus bodies of work that these greats have had and still not able to check that box for whatever reason. It's mind boggling.
Yeah, well, that was the greatest performance ever in Know Your Dallas Braden trivia. Also, the only. but 5-for-5 is very impressive.
We call that a super fractor in the collector's business. Yeah, it's a 1-for-1, baby. 1-of-1. There ain't going to be another Dallas Braden performance like this on Dallas Braden trivia outside of Dallas Braden.
No doubt. Dallas, we love talking to you, man. Thanks for enlightening us about a really difficult situation involving a storied franchise that we all care about, and hope this somehow has a happy ending. Here's the deal. If this tale evolves, anything changes, would you please come back and visit us again so we can kick it around?
Absolutely, Jay. You know how much I love and respect both you and Dougie. I can't thank you guys enough for just thinking of me. It's nice to see some positive attention paid to our club, especially during the little run that they just had. Even understanding there's a lot of ancillary noise going on surrounding the team right now, I think it's important to continue to shine light in positive areas. And that's what the organization has been able to do in their community for a long time, what the players are doing on the field right now. And anytime I get to talk A's baseball, I'm excited, especially with you fellas. So thank you very much.
Well, we loved having you. Please come back. I mean that seriously.
When you get injured, you don't want to wait for answers and options. That's why it may be time to explore the Nano Experience, a revolutionary treatment option designed to help active people get back to the lifestyles they love. Nanotechnology allows surgeons to see inside even the smallest joints and treat orthopedic conditions with a tiny camera and other nano instrumentation, all through a barely there poke hole incision. Wherever you've experienced an injury, whether it be a foot and ankle, hand and wrist, shoulder and elbow, knee or hip, nanoarthroscopy can be used to diagnose and treat your condition in an extremely, minimally invasive way. Don't wait to learn about the revolutionary Nano Experience and how it could help you or someone you know after an injury. Visit arthrex.info/theathletic. This is not medical advice and is not meant to be a substitute for advice from your physician. Talk with your physician about your health condition, potential surgical risks, and whether Arthrex products are right for you. Postoperative management is patient-specific and dependent upon your physician's assessment. Individual results will vary.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Okay, it's that time again. It is time for listener trivia, our way of involving you, our favorite listeners, in this show. And Doug, I feel like this week we should be calling ourselves the anti-A's of trivia, because we never lose. Does that sound good?
Well, that streak they went on, so we're kind of that one. The 7 days of Oakland A's, yes. So we're in that bucket.
Yeah. I think I recall Mayor Tim telling us last time that we are now 9-3 in trivia. 9-3 since the start of spring training. Tim, is that right?
I have 10-3 now.
10-3 now. Okay, 10-3. Yeah. It makes no sense. And then last week you maintained our hot streak without me by basically not even bothering with trivia. Was that your strategy? Best way to lose? Not play?
Absolutely. I wanted to preserve it, you know, so I can marinate and enjoy it a little bit longer, kind of like being at the beach or something. So I just soaked it in, a little more sun, and then I figured we should do it together and bask in the glory as one unit. So I appreciate that.
Okay, let's bask a little bit then. Look, if it seems to me that if you want to be great, you should be proving your greatness over and over. I know we're stretching the definition of greatness, but that is my story and I'm sticking to it. So let's welcome in this week's special trivia guest star. For the second straight show that I've been involved in, our trivia guest submitted his question via the miracle of Facebook. That's working. it's Caleb Gosch, who is joining us from and this is a first, by the way, from Romania. Caleb, welcome to Starkville.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Honored to be here.
Well, we are honored ourselves. Now, for all those wondering what Caleb is doing in Romania, talking to us, Caleb's serving in the military. So first off, thank you for your service. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from and why you're in Romania?
I'm originally from upstate New York, just north of Utica, a little town called Renton. Right. Stationed back up there in Fort Drum, New York, with the 10th Bound Division. And we got sent over here to Romania. And I'm stationed over here and presently working with our allies over in Europe.
Wow. Well, we are truly honored to have you here. So let's do it. Let's play some trivia. Do you have a question?
My question is, well, is there a Starkville, Romania? Is there a town of Starkville in Romania?
Not that I've seen, but I'm not very good with the language yet.
Okay. All right. We'll figure it out.
I can't even envision what a Starkville, Romania would be like. Romanian baseball trivia, pretty narrow niche. All right, well, let's play the game. We asked for questions related to what else? The A's this week, and Caleb came through. So, Caleb, why don't you hit us with your question?
All right, gentlemen. Since the A's moved to Oakland in 1968, they've had more AL Rookie of the Year award winners than any other team. Can you name five of the seven recipients?
Five of seven. It's a great question. You should know you're treading delicately across the Glanville line. Doug has decreed no questions with more than three answers. We need to negotiate this with him. Doug, how many of the seven rookies of the year do we need to come up with in your latest subtle cheating scheme?
Well, there's two. Well, first of all, seven, I just hear the words World Series bounce off my head. And of course, to win the World Series, you need to win four out of seven. So that seems victorious. So I think that's one way to look at it. That's one thought I had. Now, my question was, do we get seven guesses to get four? Is that too much? You know, I don't know. We have to think about how many guesses do we get.
That's how you usually manage to parlay a nice, simple question into your devious cheating schemes.
Yes.
Let's negotiate this with Caleb. Is four answers okay? You should know our guest this week before you came on was Dallas Braden, and he just dropped one of the answers on us, Vita Blue. So, should we make it four to six? Five out of six?
Four out of seven is the perfect baseball way to go about it.
Okay, so four more besides Vita, or three more?
Vita, is that one of your answers?
He gave us one. So I don't know if it's one of the answers. He told us that. I don't know if he's right, though.
We didn't authenticate, but
We didn't
ask him about this either. He just started spinning off all of Vita's accomplishments. It sounded pretty authoritative, I have to admit. Yeah. All right, so what are we doing here? We're going to make seven guesses. We're going to say we don't trust Dallas Braden to give us the right answer.
I think we have to be confident and guess Vita Blue because nobody confirmed it. All right.
So four plus Vita? Well, I don't even know what we're doing.
Vita is not one of them.
Never mind. All right. We're not going to guess Vita. All right.
Four out of seven sounds good.
Okay, we're going to say four out of seven. We're going to get seven. We have to get four. Okay. I think we can do this.
We can.
All right, Doug, the funny thing is, when I thought about this question, this is a testament to how bizarre my mind works, but I felt like I had a better recollection of the obscure Oakland rookies of the year than the famous ones. Okay, ooh. I thought about Bobby Crosby because I knew his brother. Okay, so I thought about Andrew Bailey. I met his parents once at one of my book signings. It was the year he was Rookie of the Year. So I know those two guys both did it. I don't know why I remember Terrence Long. Remember him? But I'm almost sure he won two. Right? I'm pretty sure. So that would be three. Mark McGwire, we know he won it. He set the rookie home run record. I gave you four, like right off the bat. I mean, again, I don't know for a fact they're all right, but they seem right. Three of them I know are right. Then who else? I did Reggie win it? Great pretty early on, right? Was there another closer besides Andrew Bailey? Did Houston Street maybe win, right?
The Rockies or something?
He wound up with the Rockies, but he didn't start.
Oh, right.
Those are a couple of names on my list. Why don't you tell me who's on your list?
Not many. I mean, I did think about Reggie Jackson. I thought about Eric Chavez. Wasn't he didn't he have he had a really good rookie year, I thought.
Yeah, I thought about him.
I'm trying to think like recent. You know, like who was really did any of those pitchers win? You know, we got all this hype about Zito and
Hudson Mulder Zito.
Yeah, any of those guys. I was like, I don't know if they won. Seemed like they could have. They were all really good.
Yeah.
Isringhausen and all those cats.
Yeah. Isringhausen broke in with the Mets, though.
That's true.
You know, it's like, it's funny. It's really hard to remember who won the Rookie of the Year award. So I'm glad we have a lot to choose from.
Well, I think the thing that's tough about this is, like, you know, the A's developing these guys, and then they might have moved on, and you kind of don't associate them as much, and they might have, like, happens. You know, yeah, like, they're gone. You're like, oh, wait a minute, he didn't have he only played 2 years in Oakland, kind of thing. McGuire. Yeah.
All right, so we decided we're allowed to guess seven, though, right?
Any catchers? All right, so I got
Jackson. No, Terry Steinbach came close, but no catchers.
Yeah, all right, you don't have to tell us yet, Caleb. we need to thrash around a little bit more, but
yeah, we're thrashing.
I do think we should guess. Like, we don't need to
make
this hour long. Since we're guessing guesses, 12 I added, whatever we're doing.
I think Reggie came up as an A, right? Or was he an Angel or something?
No, he came up with A's.
Yeah, so I added Jackson and Chavez. Right. I'm just thinking, is there a pitcher? Miguel Tejada, where did he come up? Baltimore?
No, he came up with Oakland. I don't think he was Rookie of the Year, though. Like, if I were, I think, like, if I were going to guess, I'd guess McGuire, Bailey, Crosby, Long. You want to guess Reggie and Chavez. I'd make Houston Street the seventh.
Okay, let's do it.
You want to do that? Okay, so yeah. So those are our... Those are our seven guesses. Try to get 4 out of 7. I don't know if this is fair, but how do we do there, Caleb?
So you won it in a 7-game series.
We did.
We won the 7 games.
Yeah, 4 out of 7.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Which four do that?
So you got McGuire 87, Bobby Crosby in 04.
Yep.
Houston Street in 05, and Andrew Bailey in 09.
How about it?
Oh wow.
Would not. Oh, wow. Oh, but Terrence Long didn't win, huh?
He did not. And Reggie came up as a Kansas City A. So.
Oh yeah. Good point. Good point. That's right.
Very tricky.
So how about that though, Glanville?
Who missed it? Like Bert Campanaris or something?
Yeah. Who are the others?
Jose Canseco in '86.
I had him written down. We never talked about him though, right? Yeah.
Walt Weiss in '88.
So Walt Weiss. That's right. Yeah. How we forget Walt? I talk to him all the time.
And the final one, Ben Grieve.
Oh, right. Yeah. So three guys we never even mentioned, but sounds like we got it right somehow or other.
You did. You won. You came back
we won all seven.
Yeah, we never get them wrong. The thing is, like, is this all because of your latest subtle cheating scheme, Doug? Is it like, do you think it's time we have to address your nefarious behavior?
Well, I think it's molded into something reasonable, because in the past we would have both guessed 7 different guesses and we would have had 14 guesses.
It's still bad. It's just bad to be able to guess that many.
So many people though. It's like, guess, well, could you imagine trying to guess 7 of those guys? We had no chance.
It's too many. 7? It's true. I'm like, whatever. We're going to take the win. Okay. And as you know, whether we get the questions right or wrong, even though we never actually get them wrong now, we then turn the quality of segment meter way up, because this is the time we bring in the mayor of Starkville, Tim McMaster, to play just some great play-by-play clip involving this week's answer. Tim, you got a lot of fun choices this week. Just curious what you got for us.
I don't feel great about you guys getting credit for this one. Don't. Not gonna lie,
Tim was never on board with the 4 out of 7.
If there was an asterisk to add, we talked about this a few weeks ago. The asterisk on the sign at Starkville, it's getting bigger.
Yeah, like, what was that movie, Quiz Show? You had a cheating scandal. Like, we're definitely treading down that line right now.
Anyway. You did get this guy right though, Mark McGuire. I picked McGuire because he actually had a historic rookie season. He hit the rookie record for home runs back in 1987. Here you go, number 39.
And that one may be it, way back, and there's your record. Mark McGuire puts the A's in front with his major league rookie record, 39th home run.
He ended up hitting 49 for the season, which stood until Aaron Judge broke it with 50.
Mm. Yes, sir. He was quite a force back then. Listen to the roar of that crowd in that Oakland Coliseum. That actually happened.
And then Alonzo, Pete Alonzo, right? He also broke it, right? He broke that. Okay.
Yeah. He did. Okay. So the record didn't stand forever. That's irrelevant. Yes. Our record stands 12 and 3. 11 and 3 since the start of spring training.
Now you're adding numbers to it. Yeah, 11 and 3.
That's another Glanville cheating scheme.
2 for 1. We got 2.
Hey, Caleb, well done. Thank you so much for joining us all the way from Romania. And thanks again for serving. It has been fantastic to have you here. Please come back again sometime.
Thank you, gentlemen. It was an honor.
Thanks, Caleb. Appreciate it.
We loved it. Great question. Really good.
Thank you.
Okay. So if you're listening to this, you should know you too can be part of these trivia segments, just like Caleb Gosch. We'll tell you how in just a few minutes.
Strange but true.
Ah, Doug, I've missed these strange but true segments. I actually offered this week to tell an entertaining strange but true tale of my time wandering the incredibly narrow streets of Sicily. But fortunately for everyone listening, we're going to stick to baseball, okay? Because I think we had a strange but true old-timer last Friday at Dodger Stadium. So let's just set the scene before we listen to this, because it's so good. 11th inning, wild game, Giants-Dodgers. Giants take a 2-run lead in the top of the 11th. So now it's the bottom of the 11th. Jacob Junis on the mound. Zombie runner on second. Mookie Betts at the dish. We got to hear what happened next. I honestly can't hear this enough or watch it enough.
Betts, a pop-up on the infield. Who wants it? Schmidt hustling in from third, and he dropped it. And then Junis picked it up and threw it away. Oh, my goodness. Betts is going to... Now the Dodgers will have 2 at third. Yastrzemski throws to Crawford. They've got Mookie in a rundown. They're going to throw home. Patrick Bailey will flip to Junis, who tags out Bush. Betts ends up at third, and that's one of the craziest plays in the history of the game.
One of the craziest plays in the history of the game. It really was. John Miller on the radio side called it a Greek tragedy. There were no Greeks in the play, but it was so true. So, all right, let's just recap that. Okay, that play went error. That's how it started. 2 errors on a ball that had a hit probability, according to StatCast, of, you want to guess, Doug, what the hit probability was in this ball? 0.
3.
Zero.
Zero.
Okay, so we had error on a ball with a hit probability of 0. Then it eventually turns into a 9-6-4-2-1 out at third. 7 Giants touch the ball, and the guy who threw the pitch and the guy who hit the pitch both wind up at third for the out, which is how the play ends. It was so good, man. Doug, I'm just going to open it to you. Your thoughts.
Oh, I love those phone number moments of hitting every single. Well, I mean, where was the center fielder?
It's actually a zip code moment.
Zip code? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no center fielders touched the ball. Nope.
See, that's a failure on the center fielder's part. You got to get in there. As a center fielder, you feel obligated.
Back up some base.
You got to back up something. You might even have to slide into third. I mean, just to add more chaos, you just slide into third just to see what happened. Sort of like Jose Abreu after his first home run this year, just slid into the dugout. You know what I'm saying? So I did a little research, and Greek tragedy is really fascinating. And apparently there's a catharsis that's sort of part of the Greek tragedy. You have to go through a catharsis. So I'm wondering what that could mean in this context right now. Is it that the official score decides to erase the play from existence because it was too chaotic and just sort of start over? So I just think that something must have happened. And if you look at the Giants right now, the catharsis may be that they passed the Los Angeles Dodgers in the standing. I think it's like that moment teleported them into, I don't know if they're in second place now. I think it's second place.
They are.
So they teleported ahead of the Dodgers. And I think at that point, from this day forward, the Dodgers will not be allowed to catch the Giants unless they go through another catharsis where 12 people touch the ball on an infield fly. So that's what I'm thinking. It's right in the Greek tragedy. And apparently some of the legends of Greek tragedy we know so well is Euripides, for example. And so I think if you're really doing a full circle, you have to have a Greek tragedy night in San Francisco and in Los Angeles. And, you know, they have the City Connect jerseys. The City Connect uniforms now need to be Athens, and it has to be something straight out of Greece, with Euripides across the chest. And so San Francisco Euripides, that's where we have to go now. So that is the full catharsis, and I'm very excited about seeing that.
And see, here I thought you couldn't have a Greek tragedy on a baseball field unless Kevin Youkilis was involved. So what do that's I know?
Yeah, there we go. Right, look, bring Youkilis, yeah, the manager.
Yeah, he could be. I'm just curious. What was your greatest rundown moment in your storied career? But I bet you can't top that one, but I'm still curious.
I cannot. But I've definitely been involved in some crazy plays. Well, I do remember getting, before I was traded to the Phillies, still with the Cubs, I got into a rundown at Veterans Stadium, and I was actually able to get out of it by sliding in the middle of first and second base and had Mickey Morandini miss me, and then I was able to get back safe. So it's kind of a cool move, and the irony of that is I got traded for Mickey Morandini, maybe because of that play, because apparently that was part of a Greek tragedy. Catharsis was that I was traded from the Cubs to the Phillies. What a very exciting moment of mine was, we had a crazy play like that, and as a center fielder, I ended up at second base catching the ball and tagging the runner who was sliding into second. That was very glorious. He was safe though. But I remember the look on his face, like, where did you come from? And sliding and looking at me like, what are you doing here? I said, exactly that. So that was Jimmy Pearsall, my outfield coach, said, you got to back at the base. So I kept backing up. And as I kept running, I found myself in the infield. And I think the look on, I don't know if it was Roland or someone who threw me the ball, was like, okay, I guess this guy's there. So I wish I got the out though. That would have been glorious. But I got to catch and tag a runner as the center fielder. That was really cool.
Wow. So all those putouts that you accumulated, one of them was almost at second base. Who knew?
Yeah. I mean, who knew? It was beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, great job by our friend Andy Baggerly in his story. Oh, this is Comedy of Errors. You can still read it in The Athletic. Andy did something I have done many times when a play like that breaks out. You know what it is, Doug? He went to the zip code finder.
Oh, what did he find?
Well, you know what? It was really disappointing because it turns out there is no 96421 zip code in all of America. I didn't give up, though. I kept going. The closest I could find was 96121. That's Milford, California, which is in Northern California. It's right near the Nevada border near Reno. So it's the wrong zip code, but either way, I'm going to guess because they were in Northern California. Big fans of that play in Milford, California. Had to be.
Well, here's the thing. This is destiny now. We now at Starkville needs to adopt that zip code. That needs to be our zip code.
I like it. 96421, so, Starkville, USA.
There it is. That's our zip code.
All right. Do we have to alert the Postmaster General or anything, or we just do it?
Yeah, we just do it. And then, you know, they could cease and desist us at any time.
Right. So you can write us here at Starkville 96421. And if it somehow gets returned to sender, blame the Postmaster General. All right. That's going to do it for this week's show. We'll be bringing you podcast magic just like this all season long on The Athletic Baseball Show, which is available in its entirety, absolutely free, everywhere you get your podcasts. And if you'd like to read any of the great baseball coverage in The Athletic, including Doug Glanville's new piece on baseball and fatherhood, we can tell you how. Just go to theathletic.com/baseballshow. And if you're a new subscriber, you can sign up for a one-year subscription for just $1.99 a month. Also remember, though, you can be part of this podcast. Every show, we pick some fun listener trivia question, and then that lucky listener gets to join us right here and prove once again there is almost no baseball trivia question we can't get wrong. Can I still say that since we get them all right now? Yeah. So we'll deal with that some other time. To reach us, you can email us at Starkville@theathletic.com. That's Starkville with an E on the end. Or You can check out my Facebook fan page, as Caleb Gosh did. We've actually had two in a row from Facebook. Or you can do what most people do. Send us these questions via what's left of Twitter. Doug, you're one of those things that's left of Twitter. Where can people find you and your blue check mark?
Yeah, just follow the blue, I guess. And it's still my name. So far, it's not been copyrighted or anything. At Doug Glanville, DougGlanville, right there. Hit me.
Yeah. Don't literally hit him. Just send him a trivia question. Or you can send it to me at JasonST. That's Jason with a Y, ST. Remember to hashtag your Twitter questions, hashtag StarkvilleQS. All right, Doug, thanks for playing. Thanks to Dallas Braden for visiting us. Thanks to Caleb Gosh for the great trivia question all the way from Romania. Thanks to the mayor of Starkville, Tim McMaster, for producing us and putting up with us, which is getting harder than ever. And thanks to you all for listening. Doug and I will see you next week on Starkville.